Good morning. Just open with God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to flip to Psalm 46, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its dwelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Lord, we love you, and we are thankful that you are in charge and that you love us. Lord, help us to commune with you as Adam did, to believe in you as Abraham did, to be faithful to you as Moses was, to be a man after your heart as David was, to pray fervently as Elijah did. Lord, us help today to bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Good morning again. My name is Leslie Miller. I'm a volunteer with Teen Challenge. I lead outreaches like this morning around the province, and it's certainly a pleasure and a privilege to be here representing Teen Challenge. I have Luke, Christian, and Ian with me, and they'll be speaking to you in a little while. I live in Black Diamond, Alberta. I go to the Gospel Chapel in Black Diamond, so if any of you are down that way and want a God-following church to attend in that area, please come and say hello. Question for you. How many of you are familiar with Teen Challenge? Just by a show of hands? Good crowd. Excellent. For those of you that do not know, Teen Challenge is a 12-month, faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center serving men and women between the ages of 18 and 65 years of age. I'll pause there. Teen Challenge was given its name back in the mid-50s in New York City. They found out that dealing with people under the age of 18 posed many problems with rules, regulations, insurance, etc. So they kept the name, they just adjusted the age accordingly. I'm sure many of you are wondering, why do they call it Teen Challenge? So I thought I would answer that question for you. There's a lot of good programs out there, but most secular treatment facilities have a 10 to 15% success rate for those who graduate and stay clean. Teen Challenge is significantly higher, with more than a 50% success rate. For those who graduate, surveyed 5 years after graduation, are free from drug and alcohol, and are positively contributing to society. They actually did some studies a number of years ago to disprove the success rate, and found it was quite a bit higher than we had been saying. And this is all attributed to the Jesus factor. There is no cure for drugs. The pills, the powder, the needles are so strong, the only way to get people off them is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. As I mentioned, because we are faith-based, we are not government-funded. If we were government-funded, we would lose the very change age of Jesus Christ that gives us the success rate that we have, and we're certainly not willing to compromise that. We have a 26-page rule book that the students receive when they come into the program. Our prayer is that by the time they graduate, they are no longer subject to the law, but the Spirit. Even though the men at Teen Challenge all have different realities, they've all been saved by the same truth. The reality is the need is great, and the truth is the Lord is willing that none shall perish. We fly under the banner of rehabilitation, but we're actually a discipleship program. When you send someone to Teen Challenge, it's like spending 12 months in lockdown with your pastor and elders. Let me ask you, if you spent 1 month with your pastors and elders of your church in lockdown, would you not have an encounter with the Lord? With that, I'll ask Christian to come forward and give his testimony.
Good morning. Well, as Les said, you do spend about 12 months with your pastor and elders, and as well as having an encounter with Jesus Christ, you also have an encounter with insanity. Let me tell you, it's a great experience, but it's also very humbling. Well, I actually forgot my testimony on a paper, so I'll just have to try to remember it. So if I start bouncing around, that is the reason. My name is Christian Duzik. I am 21 years old, and I was born in Vermilion, Alberta. I don't really remember much of my early childhood, but I do remember my mom and biological father breaking up. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom got saved when I was about 3 years old. They split when I was about 4 years old. When I was about seven, my mom and stepfather got married in Lloydminster, which is in Alberta. And it's not a Saskatchewan town, it's Alberta, all right? And it was great. My stepfather worked a lot. He was an immigrant from the United States. So it was basically me and my siblings alone with my mom the majority of the time. When I was in school, elementary school, believe it or not, I was really tiny, really tiny. And that posed as an opportunity for other kids to torment me as I was really small and emotionally insecure. This went on for about 6 years before my mom finally had enough of the system and actually pulled me into being homeschooled as a way to stop the abuse that was happening to me at school. That didn't work out. My mom is a lovely woman, but she has she's a sinner, as we all are, and she abused me physically, verbally, and emotionally, and it was very hard for me to deal with. When I was 16, I was really behind on my schoolwork. I was about 6 months behind on my math alone. And my mom said to me, you need to catch up. But I had no motivation, and I was really lazy. So she actually locked me in a room and said, you cannot come out under any circumstances. She said that if the fire was to consume the house, she would rather me die in the burning flame than get out of that room. This room had a camera in it, and I wasn't to leave under any circumstances, which this also meant hygiene-wise. So I was actually given a toilet that you used to train a two-year-old, and it was very degrading. This lasted for about 5 days before I finally ran away. I crawled out through the window. 3 days later, I got a call from my stepdad. He wasn't aware that any of this had happened. He just knew that I was gone because he was working all the time. And he told me to come back. He told me that no matter what my mom said or did, I had a clean slate, but I had to follow certain rules. And a week later, on April 11th of 2014, I got kicked out for not following those rules. So from there on out, I was basically on my own. I went back to public school, and it was good. But I started hanging out with people who had similar experiences as me, which were the alcoholics and the drug addicts. And that was the beginning of my downfall. When I was between the ages of 8 and 10, I was sexually abused by a babysitter. At 12 years old, I was sexually abused by a group of peers. And at 14 years old, I was molested by 6 grown men in a public restroom. These things I had kept under wraps my whole life. I never talked about them. Then when I was 18, I started drinking, I started smoking, I started doing dope. Anything 0 to 100. I hadn't done anything to this up until this point, which is very surprising to my teachers. Later that year, I actually dropped out of high school because of how much I was drinking. And I was also homeless. That was my first real experience with homelessness. And it was hard. It was hard to deal with. When I was 19, I met a girl, and we moved to Regina together. And I came home one day from work, and she was actually in bed with five guys. Those five guys came out of the bedroom, and they beat me pretty bad. They ended up branding my chest and actually cleaving my face open with a 2x4. And I was homeless again in Regina. I had no family within 6 hours, and it was really hard for me. Finally, I had saved enough money from just really picking up coins and such to buy a bus ticket back to Vermilion. Between the ages of 16 and 20, I had moved 40 times. That's a lot of times for anybody in their lifetime. And for me, that created no control. With drugs and alcohol, I felt like I had control over my life. Let me back up a little bit. When I was 14 years old, I tried to commit suicide several times. I tried to hang myself, and it didn't work. As a way to get a little bit of control, I started choking myself out into blackout with a belt, and that was a form of control. And then when I discovered alcohol and drugs, that also created a false sense of control. When I was 20 years old, I met my ex-fiance in Bowdoin, Alberta. And the relationship could have worked out, but I was an alcoholic and a heavy smoker, and she was emotionally insecure, so it didn't. About a week after we broke up, she got my best friend and her best friend's fiance to rape me. It was very hard for me to deal with, and I started blaming myself for everything that had happened. I started using hard drugs, cocaine, heroin, pills, anything I could get my hands on. And once again, I was homeless. Finally, I managed to scrap enough money to buy a bus ticket to Viking, where I found a job that I really enjoyed and paid a lot of money, but that also meant more money meant more ways to buy more drugs. I forgot where I was. So December 14th of last year, I got into a real dark place in my life. I had lost all my family connections. I had no relationship with my mother. I had no relationship with my siblings. I had no real friends. It was really hard for me. So on December 14th, 2018, I got intoxicated, and I lacerated my left forearm about 30 times, and I wanted to die. Now, it just so happened that this particular evening, my mother and stepfather come out to my house. Like I said, I hadn't talked to them for about 3 months, and they just found me out. I was bleeding out on my floor of my apartment that night. My mom looks me in the eyes, and she's like, "Kid, you're coming with me, because if you don't die today, you're going to die tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, then the next." So I started my process of entering Teen Challenge. I lived with her for about 3 months before I got into the program, and even though I had forgiven her for the things that she had done to me as a kid, it's still very hard to live with that kind of burden on your shoulders. When I got to Teen Challenge, it was hard for me. I came with a street mentality. I was so used to everybody using me, taking my money, stealing from me, that I just wanted to fight everybody. But within about a month, things started changing. I was acting a little bit nicer. I started making friends. And honestly, that could have not have been from any other thing on this planet except from God. You spend your whole life running away, hiding from your problems, and within a month or two of joining a program with a bunch of 12 dudes that you don't even know, and you start like making friends and start revealing some dark truths about your life, there has to be some other factor. I didn't talk about sexual abuse until I came to Teen Challenge. It's something that I know happens to a lot of people, but lots of people don't also talk about it. And so even though my testimony is a little bit hard to deal with, I would rather speak and tell you guys to know, for you to know that you're not alone, that there is a chance that you can get from away from your addictions and away from your past abuse, and that's God. So amen to that. I'd like to share with you my favorite scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Many of those of you that are married know that this is a love chapter. And throughout my whole life, I didn't experience love. I had no role model for love. I didn't know how to love. It wasn't there. But by looking at this chapter and looking at those verses, I know that the man who created love, that the God who created love, that's what love's supposed to be like. And that's very encouraging for me, because I know that's the perfect love. We know that because he died for us. So thank you for hearing my testimony.
Now you can hear me. Technology. Anyways, we're looking to have Christians sponsored today. This is his sponsor card. The sponsorship is $40 per month, and you can pay that a number of ways, by credit card or by check. You can pay it monthly or in installments of 12, 6, 3, 4, whatever suits you. If you sponsor him today, we will give you his sponsor card. You will get quarterly updates. You can also write your students. They love getting mail from people. And you'll be invited to his graduation. How many of you have sponsored a student with Teen Challenge? Well, we have a few hands. That's good. Well, you have an opportunity today to change that. With that, I'll ask Ian to come forward and share his testimony.
So, hello everybody, and I kind of started this wrong. Anyway, I'll just read off my sheet, because that way I don't get distracted with anything. So my name is Ian. I've been in Teen Challenge for 4 months now, going into my fifth. I grew up in a Christian home in England, which is where I spent most of my childhood. It's kind of a strange story, because I was born in Hong Kong, and then literally born in Hong Kong, and then raised in England, and then we came to Canada in my teens. We moved to Canada, as I said, when I was about 13 and a half. I was a high-strung child, often would get into trouble for various things, for not sitting still in class, disrupting other students, would often get me into trouble, and just trying to be a class clown and make jokes that were often not found funny in the teacher's eyes. I also struggled with a lot of anger issues, and I found it quite hard to get along with a lot of the teachers. I thought it was, as I said, what I thought was funny was often not the case for the teachers. As a result of this behavior, I got angry because I didn't understand why I was getting into trouble for having a bit of fun. I was bullied and picked on as a child in boarding school, which attributed more to my anger problems. My father was in the British military, so we often moved around quite a lot, which made it quite hard to make long-term friendships, connections. In Canada, I was told by my school that I wasn't allowed back unless I was medicated and took counseling. So I was tested for ADD and ADHD and put on medications and had to do counseling. While I was taking these medications, I fell into a downward spiral of feeling sad. And as a result of this, I figured I would just take more than I was supposed to in an attempt to end my life. When I was 14 and a half, I came to this conclusion, and so starts my addiction. It didn't kill me, but it made me not have to feel the way that I felt. By the age of 15, I was abusing my medications every day. I started smoking, which began after I tried a prime time. thing. I was drinking here and there, but nothing too serious. When I was 16 years old, it was the first time I got drunk. I was smoking weed here and there, and smoking and still abusing my medications on a daily basis. I cleaned up when I was about 18. I was drinking, but I didn't think I really had a problem with it. This is kind of what I thought, anyway. I got fired from a job for reasons that I thought were unjust and unfair. And so I started doing this all over again. Started using all over again. And it got worse this time. And I started to isolate from people. So instead of being around people, I would just be by myself, drinking and using. And I had a lot of anger in my heart towards my father because I felt that he just didn't understand me and what I was going through. We got into fights when I was younger, and I hadn't forgiven him with how these fights had ended. I had a lot of bitterness towards my sister because she didn't treat me right when we came to Canada. When we were inseparable in England, and now we were enemies. I chose to forgive my father for the past, but only through God's grace in my heart. The Lord has removed these walls of anger and bitterness toward my sister. These walls of anger and bitterness, and I didn't forgive my sister until I was about 22. Then I slowly began to trust her again. And now I've realized that I was wrong for being bitter and twisted and with anger in my heart for so long. It took a lot of prayer and seeking the Lord for me to finally forgive. I found Christ on my own when I was almost 18, and I was in a drunk cell, in a holding cell. I got baptized when I was 18 and a half-ish, when I was trying to become more involved in church ministry and fellowship. And I just felt like I wasn't fitting in anywhere because it just didn't work. I felt like I was just being judged for the lifestyle choices I was doing. So I was drinking and using and abusing my medications and binges now. I tried to take my life and was almost successful when I was 24. I landed in the psych ward for observations and options for mental health treatment. My mental health was getting worse and I couldn't see a way out. So I was often in and out of hospitals. When I was about 25 and a half years old, I used meth for the first time, which I found was very similar to the same things that I've been abusing for the rest of my life, which I was already addicted to. I was a binge drinker as well. I ended up on the streets for about 8 months, and once again, I was heading back into my addiction quite strongly. I had no plans of making it out this time alive, and I knew that I needed to go to treatment, or my parents would be planning a funeral. So I knew about Teen Challenge for a long time, about 10 years before I even made it here, because I got to know some of the guys from Teen Challenge through my church. So I was like 17 when I got to know those guys, and they were really good, strong guys in the Lord, and that's just kind of how I found out about Teen Challenge. I've been to another recovery center before. I've been to the Dream Center, which I did. It's not a bad program, but I just knew that I needed something that was a bit more founded in the Lord, a bit more founded in faith, and a longer program. That's why I chose Teen Challenge, because I like it, because it is actually a Christian program. It's not just a Christian idea. It's actually a Christian program, reading the Bible, doing Bible studies, and sharing and praying with each other to strengthen each other through the Lord. And since I've been here, I've grown in my daily devotions with the Lord, and the Lord has changed my heart from being a selfish and self-absorbed individual into one that truly wants to change. I'm looking forward to the rest of my year here, and I know and I am confident that God has more work to do in my life yet. And I know my relationship is being restored more and more each day, and I would love to serve the Lord in the best way that I can. And right now, staying here and becoming stronger in what I truly believe is what I truly believe that I need to do. My favorite verse is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I like this verse I like this verse because it tells me that it is not my own strength that is doing this, but it is Christ within me that is doing this. And I know that with Christ's strength, I will be able to make positive changes in my life, and with Him being in me, this is helping and guiding me to make positive changes in my life, and I know that without Him, I just can't do it. I tried that, didn't work. So thank you all for listening to my testimony, and I thank you all for your spiritual and financial supports that you give to provide for Teen Challenge. Without this support, Teen Challenge would not be able to change the lives of men and women. Once again, I thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Ian, for sharing. And we have Ian's sponsor card here as well. In your bulletins, you got a sponsor brochure. If you do want to sponsor somebody, you just have to tear the flap off, fill it in, or come to the table, and we'll assist you filling it in and put the student's name on it you want to sponsor and give you the sponsor card. There will be a love offering, I believe, at some point during the service. Do not put the sponsor card in the love offering. Bring it back to the table so we can look after it personally. The national average for sponsorship is 1.5 sponsors per outreach. That's across Canada. Through God's grace, Alberta is at 3 per outreach. Our prayer today is that we not go below this and get some of our students sponsored. With that, I'll ask Luke to come forward and share his testimony.
Hello, my name is Luke. I've been in the program for about 8 months now. You know, it's doing me well. And I was born and raised on a native reserve out in BC, Sumas Mountain. Both my parents, they were born and raised in the orphanages around Canada. My dad, he was born up in the Yukon on Dawson City. My mother doesn't even know. But they were going orphanage to orphanage all around Canada. And eventually they found each other, and they stuck it out with each other, got married, and made me and my brothers and sisters, you know. I have 3 sisters and 1 brother, so there's 5 of us. When I was young, you know, my father, he was, the way he dealt with his problems was drinking and drugs, you know. And my mother, she got diagnosed with multiple personality disorder because she never knew who she was. She's got multiple names. I could list out the names. I'm okay without doing that. But her name is Cindy right now. They raised us children the best they could for what they knew and how they were raised. They did the best they could. It was I was blessed with that. But throughout my childhood, there was plenty of molestation and incest in this family and in the nation I was living with. And I just grew up that. I grew up thinking that was normal, and never knew any different when I was younger. And when I was about 9 years old, that's when my dad told me, you know, you gotta start working, you gotta start making money for the family. As well with my brothers and sisters, they just my father threw me in the lumber mill that my family was, where my whole family was working in, and to just start working, making money to build the family up. But what I didn't understand was where the money's going. I'm still living in the same situation, and you know, there's more money coming in. But I understood. I figured out that it was just feeding my father's addictions with his booze and drugs. And you know, it's when I was about 12 years old, I guess, is when I started drinking. I saw my dad passed out on the couch, I guess, with the 60 pounder with the cap off on the ground, right? And I saw my dog, you know, knock over the 60 and start drinking. I said I might as well join the dog, so I started drinking. You know, I started smoking weed, all that stuff. And then the government somehow found me and my little sister. I'm the second youngest. I have a little sister as well. The government found me and my little sister somehow, some way, and they took me and my little sister away from the scenario I was living in, the people I loved, the people I cared about, the people that I only knew. And I was angry about that. But they took me away from that scenario, and they put me in a town down from the reserve, and they put me in an apartment building full of pedophiles, drug addicts, drug dealers. I was 14 at the time. My little sister is 12. And they just gave us the money for the rent and say, take care of yourselves. No social worker. I guess they thought that I was old enough to figure it out. So I made a dedication to myself. I said, I'm gonna push through high school. I'm gonna figure out how to get to school. I'm gonna push my sister to go and graduate as well. And that it was successful. We did eventually graduate. I was a few years behind. I graduated with my little sister, which is good. But throughout those struggles, you know, I was gonna graduate high school or go back to the mill and start working. So I decided to sell drugs and go to school to take care of my little sister. I took the easy way out. And with selling drugs, gang life also inhabits that life. And also as well, like, I'm trying to protect my little sister through all these pedophiles, drug addicts, and drug dealers, and the drugs were the thing to sidetrack them off of that, and that's how I solved the problem, right? But through all that, I also started doing drugs, and it was hard, you know. I just going hard at that, you know, heroin and all the horrible stuff. But I eventually graduated, so did my sister. And my sister is getting married soon here. She's waiting for me to graduate so I can be at that wedding and walk her down that aisleway. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm very happy about that one. But she's getting married to a good man. Heavy-duty mechanic. I am so happy, you know. And after graduation, I went back to the mill, started working at the mill, making the money. It's piecework. The harder you work, the more you get paid, right? That makes you work hard because you want to get more money. But eventually, I decided to leave the family business, you know. So I went into metal work, right? Because I wanted an apprenticeship, I wanted some schooling. So I went into metal work. I started as a laborer. I worked hard. They gave me a structural steel fabrication apprenticeship. I went to BCIT Vancouver for a few years. Got a few tickets, right? Didn't get the red seal, but I got a few tickets, right? And then, you know, my dad, he was going through hard times through his addictions. And I was living in a little trap house with him because he was going through hard times. And I just wanted to see him happy, right? So the way I saw him smile was feeding him the coke, feeding him the alcohol, the prostitutes, all of it, just to make him smile. But I understand that now, that was wrong. I was very wrong. Eventually, my dad, he was just drinking at work. He's had the 15 beers at work, the 60 pounder at home, bumping coke all the time. But and then the boss of the mill, he went up to my dad and he said, "Keith, you've been working here for 45 years. We love what you do, but you know you're a bad influence to the upcoming workers that are coming in and working their butt off, right? And so you either straighten out or you're fired." And my dad just laughs at Tom Jones, the boss, and says, "You're not gonna fire me. I've been working for you for 45 years. That ain't happening," right? He never took it serious. So he kept on drinking and doing the drugs at work. And then my father, the boss, let him go. You know, my mother's been working at this mill for 30 years now. My dad's been working there for 45. But, yeah, my dad got let go, got fired. And then all my dad knew was this mill, right? He just knew the production line. And so he thought he didn't, after he lost that job, he thought he didn't have anything in life. So he climbed up to the top of that mill and hung himself. And he got his point across, I guess, you know. He had a point to prove, and he got it across. I guess he won, right? I was angry and sad, broken. And so I started doing more of the heavy drugs and heroin and other stuff and drinking. And that depression and all those hard drugs triggered seizures that I've never had before until this happened, and they're grand mal seizures. And then I got diagnosed with this epilepsy, and I started having grand mal seizures every day. And I just didn't stop drinking. I didn't care. I didn't stop doing the drugs, and I was just losing my mind, losing my memory, losing my mind. And then I was sick of it. One day on the track, in Surrey, after work, I found the drug of my choice. I had a syringe in it. I had a syringe in my left arm. I had the booze in my right arm. I shot up. I drank that booze, and I passed out on the tracks of Surrey. And waiting for that light to hit me. And somehow, a homeless man found me, seizuring out on the tracks. And he dragged me off those tracks. He slapped me out of the seizure that I was having on the tracks. And he says, "What the heck are you doing? You're a young man. What's bringing you to doing this, right? Why are you laying on the tracks, losing your mind?" And I woke up angry. I was yelling at him. I said, "You ruined my plans. You ruined my plans to see my daddy sooner." And me and him had a very long conversation, a good 10-kilometer walk back to my place. And I was just still yelling at him this whole time. I was so ignorant, I never even asked him what his name was throughout this few hours of walking home. And then when he walked me to my little place I called home, I just opened the door and slammed it back on him, you know, never even invited him in for saving my life. And if I did invite him in, he probably would have faded away, you know. Just swear to you, that guy was an angel. And but I just turned around, went back into the kitchen, grabbed what I thought I needed, which was the drugs and alcohol, back to losing my mind, going crazy. And then I had a foster uncle, Dale, previous graduate of Teen Challenge and successful. He's got his 7 kids back. He's got his acreage back. He's got his wife back. And good old success story right there. And he found me in the hospital losing my mind. He woke me out of the seizure that I was having in the hospital. I woke up, his face was this close to my face. I was like, well, like, you know, that's when I just gained my sanity back right there. And he's like, you're going to Teen Challenge. Well, I got nothing else. So, I don't know, that was my perspective on it at that time, right? And I never knew the Lord before this. And so I went on my way to Teen Challenge, and my goodness, it is amazing. I never knew there was people like you out there caring so much. Oh, my perspective on Christianity was altered, right? But it is lining up, and it's going good, and the Lord has been good to me throughout these last quite a few months, and I'm very happy. And you know, it's time to stop grieving and crying and weeping about what happened. And you know what? I'm ready to stand up and be a man and not walk down the path my father or mother have walked down. I'm gonna learn from those situations, and I'm gonna walk past that. Walk my own path, make my own path with the Lord. And so I've got my favorite verse here right now. Flip to her. Sorry. It is also in 1 Corinthians 13, but it's verse 12. It is, for now we see things imperfectly, like a puzzling reflection in a mirror, but then we will see everything in a perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. So what I get out of that is, be content with where I am and what I know. I'm going to ask the Lord and ask him questions, and I'm wanting the answers, but if he doesn't give me these answers at the time I want them, I have to be content with that. And he will give me the answers at some time in my life. It might be at those pearly gates. I'm not too sure. And those answers, the questions I'm asking, will be totally irrelevant at that time. But I'll get them, right? And I've made so many great friends and such good advice through Teen Challenge. It's just unbelievable, right? And you know, like, Teen Challenge, it's a challenge, but the real challenge is out there, right? You know, so I gotta get ready to face the real challenge, which is out there. And may I close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these struggles that I've been through to make me grow and understand that why I don't want to go through those paths. And thank you for showing me other people's struggles so I can learn off them and not walk through those paths. And, you know, it makes me so happy to be where I am right now and content on where I am right now. And these people here are such a blessing for me, and you bless me for being up here. Thank you, Lord, for that. And that's the best I got. Amen. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Just before I close, a couple of things. As you probably may or may not have figured out, when someone goes on addiction, it's not just them. There is quite a ripple effect. Their parents, their loved ones, their brothers, their sisters, their friends. And through God's grace, the opposite of that is true. When you see these men recovering and getting their families back and their friends back, the ripple effect is even greater. So thank you for having us today. And I'll just bring you a quick update. I've told you about the sponsor cards. Have I told you about those? And I told you about the bulletin with the flap on it that you tear off. Have I told you that? Good. Okay, I'll just tell you a little bit about 11 years ago, the director at Teen Challenge, Greg, had a bit of a vision with his group, and they decided it was time to grow the center. So the center right now has 12 beds and a couple of beds for people who graduate and want to stay on and give back, called Phase 4. That facility will be increasing to 24 beds and 6 beds for people that want to stay on. It was a $5.5 million project. They've raised well over $4 million. The foundation has been laid. They've got the okay from head office in Toronto to go to lockup. And I'm not a construction person, but I'm told that's when you can enclose the building, rough in the plumbing, electricity, etc. And with God's provision, by the fall of next year, or the summer of next year, or the spring, whenever his timing is, they'll be able to finish the building and open it up. The need is there. They have 12 beds in their fall. I went to a graduation at the end of May. The end of May or early June, 3 gentlemen graduated. Those beds are already full. So the need is there. The need is great. If you know of anybody that can assist either financially or in kind with the building project, put them in touch with Teen Challenge and let us approach them. And we have a team of people doing that. With that, thank you so much for having us. We were hosted royally. The boys were billeted. I spent the evening with his pastor and family, and I have a granddaughter that's 7, and they have a 7-year-old. And when she came in the church this morning after meeting her last night, she ran up and gave me a hug. My day's good. It's great. It's complete. I don't have my granddaughter to hug me, but she came up and gave me a hug. So thank you for that, and thank you for having us. We do appreciate being here. If you have any questions, come and see us at the table. We'd be delighted to chat with you.
First of all, guys, thank you so much, Luke, Ian, Christian. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for sharing with us and reminding us of the grace and power of God. You know, as you guys were talking about your story, the thought came up to me, you know, death chased you down, but there was somebody running faster after you, and that was Jesus. And so we're grateful for that. So thank you so much for encouraging our faith and our own journey. So we want to support these guys. We're going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to be taking up a love offering for them as they go on these tours. Again, they are dependent upon the generosity of those who they go to support the tours. So we want to support that as well. If you want to support cash or check, go ahead, drop it in the offering plate. If you're going to make a check, though, please make it out not to Les Miller, but to Teen Challenge. Yeah, Alberta, Teen Challenge Alberta. One question I had for you guys, you mentioned sponsorships. Is it possible for more than one person to sponsor one of the students, one of the guys? Can they do that? Like,
yes, you can. It's about $50,000 to put a student through for a year with everything that goes with it, housing, food, instructors, and all of the instructors at Teen Challenge are certified in what they do. So all the students need a number of sponsors. If you take 40 and multiply it by 12, I'm from Newfoundland, so it would take me a while to do that, but you can work it out quick. They need a number of sponsors, so we have lots of sponsor cards. Does that answer your question?
Thanks, brother. All right, while the ushers are coming forward, I'll also invite the worship team, so Drayson and the guys, and I'll get ready. Can we pray for you in the ministry? Shall we pray and stand in solidarity with these guys? and pray for them. King Jesus, we are honored today and humbled. Lord, we're challenged even by Luke's words, who said he didn't know there was people like us in the world. Father, we want to be known to those who are hurting. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I pray, O Lord, for our church, that you would enable us and energize us and guide us, so that we might reach out to those who are hurting and those who are lost and those who need Christ. Lord, thank you that you send your angels to take us off the tracks of our destruction. Lord, thank you that you reconcile us and you heal our relationships. Lord, thank you that you pull us out of the darkness and you give us hope. Father, we pray for these men, for Luke, for Ian, for Christian. Continue the good work you began in them. Lord, thank you that even as they quoted from 1 Corinthians, that other passage in there reminds us that they are now new creations in Christ. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And Lord, so we pray that you, King Jesus, would perfect that work that you've begun in them, continue to strengthen them in their inner being. They are strong men, and they have endured much. And I pray, O Lord, that as you continue your work in them, that their strength would be more and more in you. And so bless them and protect them. Keep them from Satan, his servants, their works and effects. And Lord, through them, display them as trophies of your grace for your glory and their joy. Father, thank you for Les. Thank you for his leadership. Thank you for his church. Lord, we pray your blessing upon him as he gives leadership to this important work. Father, bless his family, encourage him and strengthen him, and continue to give him the endurance and wisdom he needs to guide and to lead these men well. And Father, for this ministry and Teen Challenge, thank you so much that we get to be a tangible part of it today. We pray that you would take these offerings, that you would multiply. Lord, we thank you that the facility is growing to 24 beds. We thank you that more and more men are coming to know Jesus. And we thank you that you give us the joy and the privilege of being part of something that is just incredibly eternal, glorious, and awesome, because it is your work. Thank you for using us. So take this, Lord, and bless it. Bless these men. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel free to stay standing as the offering is coming through. You can also turn to hymnal 213 as the play is coming through.
You may be seated. So our final act today in our service is to welcome some of our new members. So I'm going to invite our elder Ben. Come on up here, brother.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah, Benjamin Reed is my name, and I serve as the vice chair of the board at our church. And I'm welcoming a few to come forward this morning. Stephen Mitchell, brother, would you come? Tamara, is she here? Tamara, not here. Okay. We have Bob and Lynn Lessig. Come on up, guys. Tony Wang. And our new secretary, Lori, but she's not here, right? She's on holiday, but we're welcoming her anyway. So when she comes back, make sure you give her a hug and welcome her. Well, we, in our membership process, all of our folks have gone through an application process. They've shared their testimony. They've had an interview with some special people in our congregation who do that in it for us and serve the greater good of our church family, and we are so grateful for that service. And they have made a recommendation to the board, and the board has reviewed everything, and we are coming to the membership with full unified desire to see these guys welcomed into membership here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, if you're a member here and you would like to bless these guys in full agreement with us, would you please stand? I think you're welcome, guys. Thank you. So, would the rest of everybody else stand who would like to, let's pray a blessing over these folks. Thank you, God, that you're building Fellowship Baptist Church. We are your church, Lord. We don't belong to anybody except you. And you said you would build your church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And we thank you for each one, these brothers and sisters. They have gifts and abilities and a heart for Christ. And we welcome them today in Jesus' name, and we bless them. And Lord, we, your body, need them here among us. So Lord, guide us in how to bless them and encourage them and build this body for the glory of God and for all of our joy. Thank you, God, that you will protect us from the evil one, and we pray your protection over these dear ones in their desire to follow Christ and be a part of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. If you would like to come forward, please do, and greet these guys, and we're dismissed.